So I've got a couple questions to kind of begin our time together today. And a couple of them, you can kind of raise your hands just to kind of make sure you're still moving and still kind of awake. So who in here in this place, or who online watching right now, who is in need of a miracle? I mean, who would just like to see a miracle? You know? Yeah, I mean, you want to see a miracle, right? You know, I mean, we love to be a part of a miracle. Maybe we would like to see a miracle in our own life. Maybe we'd like to see a miracle in the life of somebody in our family, a dear friend maybe that's struggling. I would like to see a miracle even in our world, would you not? Oh, man. Are we in need of a miracle there? I think we could all agree with that. You know, I think we all would like to be a part of that kind of experience. But now this next question, I don't want you to raise your hand on this next one. I just want you to honestly answer it in your own heart. Who came expecting a miracle today? I mean, who really came expecting to see something fantastic happen today? Who came really expecting to have God just speak to you and you alone like you've never heard God before? That's a different question, isn't it? We want a miracle. We know miracles can happen, but did you really come to church? Did you really tune in online expecting to really see something like that happen? I mean, or did you just kind of think, well, it's Sunday. You know, this is what we do. Maybe the choir will be good. Maybe they won't. Maybe the preacher will be good. Maybe he won't. Right? I mean, but did you really expect a miracle? You know, in the Galilee, as Jesus was walking around the sea one day, there was a crowd of people that began to follow. There was a crowd of people that began to gather, and because they heard that Jesus was a miracle worker. Amen? And they came wanting to see a miracle. They came expecting to see a miracle. And they were kind of demanding to see a miracle. Oh. And they were not going to be disappointed. So in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, here is what happens. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Isn't that just kind of, you know, he already knew. But Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed them to the people, and afterward he did the same with the fish. And when they all ate as much as they wanted. And after everyone was filled, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces, filled 12 baskets with the scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now that's a miracle. It sounds like a Methodist potluck. Right? Wish I'd been there. How about you? 5,000 people show up, just a few loaves and a little bit of fish, no Price Chopper, no Hy-Vee, no Sam's Club, nothing like that. 12 anxious disciples, right? Who are very confused about what Jesus is going to do and about how it's going to happen, and they are all looking for and in need of a miracle. Now, I just want you right now just to turn to someone and just say to them, you have everything you need. Now, just think about that. You have everything you need. Let that sink with you for just a minute. Because have you ever been placed in a situation? Have you ever found yourself in a moment? Have you ever been looking and you're wondering how you're going to make it all happen? Anybody ever been there? Have you ever been in a spot where you're wondering, how in the world did I get here and why did they put me in charge? I mean, I heard Stephen say yes. We're all wondering that too, man. But anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. I just want you to know, all right? So, but we've been in that spot, right? We've been in that moment when we've wondered, how can we make this happen? How is it possible that it's going to turn out? How? I mean, why did they choose me? Don't they know that I get nervous in front of a crowd? Don't they know that I don't really have those kinds of gifts? Don't they know that I don't have that much money? Don't they know? I mean, we could keep going down that list, amen? We have been in that spot where we didn't think that we had everything that we needed to complete the task. But it doesn't take much looking at the scriptures to discover that we are not the only ones that feel mismatched. That God has called us to something that we don't feel matched up for. Right? God has placed us in a situation where we don't feel like we're the best kind of person. Moses felt that a time or two. Agreed? David must have felt that looking up at Goliath. What do you think? You know, I mean, Esther must have thought of that when she was going before the king in that kind of moment. Elijah must have felt that whenever he was faced with all those prophets of Baal. Peter, the other disciples, Paul, they all felt that in those moments where they were mismatched with the call that God had placed on them. That they were not the right person. But here's the thing you have to understand. God does not base his success or the success of what he has called you to do on your ability. He doesn't count on your ability or my ability to do it, right? That's not what he bases his success on. God just needs your availability. Not your ability, but your availability to do it. God needs you to trust him, you know, for the success of your calling. Because here's the real truth. If it's just based on your ability, then who's going to get credit for it when it happens? Who's everybody else going to give credit to when it comes off really well? Now, I know you don't want to say, well, God help them if it comes off. But on the other hand, God help us that it might come off. Amen? Yeah, when God is calling us to something for God, God is wanting the credit to be directed to him. God is wanting people to turn to him in those moments. God is wanting people to look to him in those kinds of moments. And in those moments, it's only by God's direct intervention that it's really going to happen to begin with. You know, when a church dreams something and they can figure out how to do it, it isn't God's dream. When a church dreams something and only by God's acting could it happen, now you got a dream. Now you got a calling. Because guess what? Contrary to popular opinion, it's not all about you. It's just not. It's about God. And it's about God's call. You are not the main character in the story. You are the supporting cast. Jesus is the main character in our story. Amen? Amen. God's love for us is the main character in this story. Agreed? We are the supporting cast. Our task is to reveal Jesus. Our task is to point others to God. You're not going to show God's great power and God's great might if all you're doing is doing things by your own ability. If you bring too much of yourself to the party, you're going to get the credit. But if you give yourself over to Jesus' hands, if you give your minds over to his mind, you can create a miracle. And that's really what this passage is all about. It's not about how one little boy shared a little bit. It's not about how maybe it may cause other people to share what they had too. It's about how it is that you and I have all we need for a miracle. We just have to be willing to give it to Jesus. The disciples on that day were quite concerned, as they should have been. I mean, it was a large crowd after all. And it was noontime, and they were getting hungry, and there was no place to buy food. And even if there had been a place, there was not enough money. They didn't carry that kind of money around. And look what Jesus does in that kind of moment. He tells them all to sit down. Now, even that, have you ever tried to get 5,000 people to sit down at the same time? I mean, I can't even get my family to sit down at the table at the same time, right? How do you get 5,000 people to sit down at the same time and be still? Especially when they know there's no food, right? But he sets them down and he takes the boys' fish and bread. He gives thanks to God, and then he begins to distribute it. And he begins to continue to distribute it, and he continues to distribute it until everyone gets fed. Now think about that. Even that, that's no short task, right? Feeding 5,000 people, that's a long period of time. I mean, by the time you get the last person, the first people are hungry again. Right? And then look what happens. There are leftovers. Now, I'm not a big fan of leftovers. But I'm not thinking that was the point here. What do you think? There are leftovers. And now the people begin to say, this Jesus, he's somebody. Now, the day ends, if we were to continue to read the scripture, and Jesus goes to the other side of the lake, and the next day, all those people show up again. And what are they looking for? Another miracle. They're looking to be fed again. That fish and bread the day before, that's pretty good. I'll take another. Right? They're looking for it again. And Jesus says, no. I'm going to give you something better. Now, you've heard this story twice. Once when I read it from the scriptures, and once whenever I told it back to you, all right? But even though you've heard it twice now, I want to kind of still ask you again, do you believe you have everything you need for a miracle? Do you believe that you have everything you need for a miracle? Because in this story and in your story and in my story, Jesus goes up to the mountain and he sits down and he sees us coming. And he sees what we need and he already knows what he's going to do. Wasn't that a great line from the scripture? He already knows what he's going to do before they even ask. And he sees that crowd coming, and he knows that in that crowd there are some disciples, but mainly there are fans, right? Now, you know, another word for fans are fanatics, right? And disciples are people who come to grow and to learn and to be close to Jesus, but fanatics, they're just looking for a good show. Agreed? Churches are filled with both. Don't make eye contact with anybody right now. But churches are filled with both, right? There are those who are disciples who want to grow and learn and be close to Jesus, and there are others who are just looking for a good show. Just looking for something to kind of get them by. Because fans focus their time with Christ on other extraordinary things they can get. But followers spend their time with Christ considering how they can grow. Why are you here today? I mean, this story, this day, this moment, whether you're online or in this place, why are you here? Why are you listening? Are you someone who just looking for a good show? Or are you someone who wants to grow? Because God is trying to grow you as a follower. Jesus is inviting you to be a follower. We don't want to be fanatics. You know, fanatics disappear when the storms come. Amen? But disciples, they make it through the storm. They are deeply committed. And Jesus, he kind of figures out who in the crowd is a fan and who of his disciples even are fans and who are really growing in faith. And he does it by asking them. Now he asks first the disciples. He asks them a question because he's really wanting to know how they're going to respond. Because the scripture, remember, told us what? He already knew what he was going to do. But he's asking them, you know, what do you kind of think we ought to do here, friends? How do you think we should feed all these people? How do you think we should take care of this? You know, and what he's looking for is whether or not they're going to try to solve the problem on their own or whether they're going to ask for his help. That's what he's testing. That's what he's looking for in this passage. See, because Jesus asks us questions, he presents us with issues, he presents us with outcomes that far outweigh our ability. He puts us in situations where he knows that we can't do it on our own just to see if we will ask him to help us. Just to see if we'll become more dependent upon him. Just to see if we'll actually trust him in the end. And Philip, well, Philip doesn't ask him, does he? Philip says, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough money. This is way beyond us. We're doomed. Right? I mean, that's really what he's doing, right? I mean, it's all over. But Andrew shows up, and Andrew says, well, you know, we got some bread, we got some fish. Still doesn't look like enough to me. But at least he acts, right? Philip's response is analysis-based inaction. He analyzes the situation and does nothing. Been to any church committees like that? Whew. I'm not saying, you know, this church. I'm just saying, been a pastor 40 years. I've been to a few meetings like that. Right? Been in a few spots like that in my own life. How about you? I assessed the situation and did nothing. But Andrew's response, availability-based action. Andrew, he says, you know, we don't have enough. But if we give these fish and we give this bread to Jesus, there is a possibility that Jesus can do something with it. There is a possibility that all of this can happen. There is a possibility that something miraculous just might occur. Jesus can do something with what we bring him and meet the need in that moment. See, Jesus offers us an opportunity for bigger ministry, for bigger impact, for a bigger outcome in our own lives. He offers that to us. And remember, he already knows what he's going to do. Right? One of the things he's going to do is he's going to bless us. Amen? He already knows he's going to bless us. He already knows he's going to welcome us. He already knows he's going to say yes to our prayer. He already knows it. The real question is, can you trust him? Can you trust him with the opportunity that he has given you? Man, I remember whenever I was first starting out in ministry and there had been this terrible car crash and three teens had been killed. You know, and I went to the hospital not knowing any of the families, just knowing that somebody had called. And so I went to the hospital and I'm thinking, what am I going to say to any of these people? Do you hear me yet? What am I going to do? I don't even know any of these families. I don't know any of this. And I walk in and there's probably 30, 40 other high school kids there already. Plus their parents, plus the parents and the families of these kids who have been killed. And none of them know me. And my prayer as I just walked into the room was, God, this is you now. Here we go. Now it was... It was not a beautiful thing, okay? No, it was a painful thing. But God somehow worked healing and began a miracle in that room just by being available. Do you hear me yet? Sometimes, friends, all we have to do is show up. We just got to show up and say, God, you do. I'm here. Use me. That's Andrew. Now the disciples, they should have known something was about to happen because there had been clues that Jesus was kind of dropping along the way. And one of those clues was as simple as 5 barley loaves. Doesn't seem like much of a clue, but if you read in scriptures, you know the last time barley loaves are mentioned, there was this guy by the name of Elijah who happened to be a little big deal in the Old Testament who took a few barley loaves and fed, guess what? Thousands of people with a few barley loaves. Now you ought to have said, I've seen this movie before. It's like Hallmark. I know how it's going to end. Right? I know how it's going to come out. Right? There are barley loaves and people are going to get fed. I know how this ends. God did it before. God can do it again. Now, has God ever acted in your life before? So do you think God can act in your life again? If you trusted God before, did he really let you down? No. It may not come out exactly the way you wanted, but he didn't leave you, did he? So do you think you can trust him again? This is what Jesus is teaching them. You know, when God presents an opportunity, he already has a plan to bring it to pass. He's already given us clues. He's already pointed us in the right direction. He can bring you through that moment. He has already worked it out. He has already been at work in your life. That's why he called you to begin with, is because he knew that he could. He knew that he could. Stop worrying about how you are going to make it happen. And ask God to make it happen through you. He's giving you an opportunity because he has it already worked out. He's not bringing you to just work it harder. He's not bringing you to just add more on your plate. He's not bringing you to make sure that you can do something. He's bringing you to it so that he can do something through you in that moment. So don't trip over what you're going to bring him. And don't get hung up on that. And don't worry about what you don't have. Give God what you do have. Do you hear me yet? Man, so many people get all tied up about, you know, am I giving enough to the church? What should I really give to God? You know, I don't have enough money to give this, or I don't have enough money to give that. Just give God what you have. He already knows what you have. Agreed? He already knows the decisions you've made. But when you just give him what you have, you can let loose of your anxiety. You can let loose of all those things about worrying about whether it was enough or not enough. You just say, God, here's what I have. You take it. You use it. Wow. Wonderful things happen. It's not just what we do with money, though. It's what we do with our passions. It's what we do with our time. It's what we do with our relationships. When we just give it to Jesus, when we offer him what we have, not what we wish we had, not what we hope to have someday, but what we have right now, it is always enough. That's all the little boy did, wasn't it? He just gave to Jesus what he had. And by the power of God, it was not only enough, it was more than enough. When we give to God what we have, you will see the Lord produce supernatural outcomes from what you give him. Imagine what it must have looked like. Imagine what it must have felt like when Jesus started distributing to the crowd. And you saw him feed 50 people with those 5 loaves and few fish. And then you saw him feed another 200 people. And then you saw him feed 500 people. And then you saw him feed 1,000 people. And you're just going, where is that coming from, man? He just keeps passing it out. He just keeps reaching in and more comes out. And can you imagine what must have been going through the crowd in that moment as they watched it just multiply over and over and over again? Imagine what would happen if we were to do that every time we came together for worship. If we just gave Jesus what we had, if we just offered our worship genuinely, honestly with God. See, we don't need a strategy, really. We just need to not leave Jesus out. We just need to include him in everything that we do. And then this weird thing happens. The disciples who are looking for bread at the beginning of the story are now looking for baskets to put the leftovers in. Now, I just got to say, I'd never thought about where the baskets came from. Did someone start throwing a Tupperware party at the last minute and I miss it? You know? Were they just carrying around empty baskets when they arrived? No. They all of a sudden, they have to find some place to go with all of these baskets in this moment. It's both the miracle and the blessing, is it not? They came looking for this much, and they got this much. In the midst of a miracle, in the midst of our wanting something more, do this. Don't miss the message that's in the miracle itself. Don't miss what Jesus is doing in your life right now as you're looking for something more. Jesus wasn't sent just to multiply bread. He was sent to be the bread. That was the real miracle, wasn't it, that was about to happen? When those crowds came to him on the other side of the lake the next day and they were looking for more physical bread to eat, Jesus just simply said to them, no. You're working hard and you're looking hard for something that isn't even what you really need. What you really need is the bread of life. What you really need is something that lasts. What you really need is the miracle itself inside of the miracle you saw. What you really need is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. If you're chasing stuff because you think that will bring you what you need, Jesus says, stop. I am what you need. You have everything else that you need for a miracle. You just need me. And I am right here with you. I am that bread. You keep getting hungry because you eat the wrong bread. If you believed me, you wouldn't be hungry anymore. I think we end with this. Give him a chance to fill you up today. You have everything that you need. Gracious God, we thank you in this day for your Son, Jesus, who comes to be amongst us. We thank you for the ways that he revealed himself to us and reveals himself again to us. Maybe, oh God, you have revealed yourself through a prayer today. Maybe you have revealed yourself as we read your word. Maybe you have revealed yourself through an acquaintance. Maybe you have revealed yourself through someone that we met as we were coming in or as we were going out or as we have been chatting online. However you have revealed yourself today, oh God, may we receive you. And may we find all that we need. All that we need. We have already been given. We have all we need for the miracle that needs to happen in our lives. Thank you, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.